1 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to begin reading at verse 17. We'll read through the end of the chapter, 1 Corinthians 1. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discerning of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of the age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards, but not many were powerful, not many were of noble birth, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. This is God's infinitely holy and infallible word. Beloved in the Lord, as we come together around the supper of the Lord Jesus, today I would like to speak to you about the gospel that the Lord's Supper proclaims. Paul the Apostle was one of the great proclaimers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he writes to the church at Corinth about the gospel of Jesus Christ. As I was looking at this passage and doing some research, I was struck by the fact that many of the writers, commentators in Scripture talk about Corinth and talk about it being pretty much like cities today, and pretty much like cities today in terms of the people, in terms of philosophy, in terms of all of those kinds of things. And it really is very much like cities today. It was a great city. It had a lot of things going for it, but it was filled with a lot of things like the Greek philosophers and other things that were just a bit off. Paul refers to some of that even in this passage that we have just read. But what Paul preaches to the church at Corinth, and what he would preach if he was in DeMott today, or Chicago, or New York, or Los Angeles, or any place in the world today, he would preach this same gospel that he preached to the church at Corinth. And it's the gospel of the word of the cross. One of the things that he begins with, as we began at verse 17, is the authority of his preaching, and that authority that's rooted in the word of God. Paul didn't come up with this stuff himself. He got this from Jesus Christ. And he was called by Jesus Christ to be an apostle to the Gentiles. He was not a party leader of any kind. He wasn't some big fancy pastor with a great following. He was given the message of the gospel to preach. That was the essence of his job. That's what he says here. Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach. He didn't even say baptism was the important part of his ministry, but the important part was to preach from the word of God that there is a Savior for sinners. And that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord is given to his servants. The word of God came to his servants. All throughout the Old Testament, we saw that was the case. We see it in the New Testament. Think with me in the Old Testament about Elijah the Tishbite. He comes to King Ahab, and what does he preach? He preaches the word of the Lord. In fact, if you read 1 Kings 17, 1 Kings 18, you will find throughout those two chapters the phrase, and the word of the Lord came to Elijah, or he preached from the word of the Lord. But the word of the Lord came to Elijah. The same with Elisha. The same with all of the other prophets of God. You go to the New Testament, you turn to what Paul writes to Timothy, a young pastor. Oh, what advice could you give to a young pastor? Well, today, young pastors would probably be given the advice, you need a big bus ministry, you need a big budget, and you need a big program in your church. Because a program will be that which will bring people in. Well, it'll bring people in, but Paul says in 2 Timothy 4 to Timothy, pastoring a church, preach the word, preach the gospel. The gospel needs no help to make it palatable or powerful. It's the power of God unto salvation. Sound biblical preaching is going to be rejected by the world. That's why they want big programs in churches, because programs are often entertainment centers, entertainment that will make people happy. They'll enjoy going there and they'll go home and say, oh, wasn't that a fun thing that happened at church today? Something that was said by the pastor was funny. Something that was said by the pastor about his family. Something that was said by the pastor about somebody that he met. And they'll go home and they'll talk about it, and they're talking about something that's absolutely useless because it is not the word of the gospel. Timothy, if you're going to be a good pastor, Paul says, preach the word. And he goes on in 2 Corinthians to say that the word of the Lord was God's treasure in an earthen vessel. He gives that treasure to those who are earthen vessels, breakable. They're not permanent. They're temporary. But God puts that treasure in those earthen vessels, 2 Corinthians 4:7, so that he might have ambassadors who will transmit the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why the minister needs to preach the word of the Lord. The ministry of the word is what the pulpit is about. The ministry of the word is that which people need to hear when they come to church. They must be drawn to Christ, Jesus, whom we hear through his word and his gospel. Not the church, not the programs, but Christ Jesus. The great Charles Spurgeon once denounced false preaching for all of the things that were wrong with it. He mentioned a few things. He said, what you'll find is that in some places, there'll be people who will redefine doctrine. In other words, they'll whittle away at the truth of the Bible, and when you're done, you have nothing left. Or they'll adapt the Bible to the modern age. Have you ever heard that from people? I have heard that many times over. We need to have something for our modern age. That was the old-fashioned day. We need something because we're so modern. We're so intelligent. We're so wonderful. Charles Spurgeon said, when you do that, you're murdering the gospel and flinging its dead body to the dogs. I like Spurgeon. He had a way with words. Or you might hear people who, as Spurgeon said, want to become progressive. In other words, he said, that's just a nice way of covering up a fact that a lie has replaced the offensive truth. People don't want the truth. People don't want to hear the truth of the gospel. But it's the truth of the word, it's the truth of the gospel that arouses faith, because Romans 10 tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We may not forsake the true gospel. And that true gospel has lasted for centuries. And if we don't cover it up with other things and hide it, we won't be those who preach the false gospel, like Spurgeon said. And he said, then you take the truth and you bury it under flowers. Just another great way of saying things about false gospel. Burying it under flowers. Oh, the flowers look nice, but you've buried it underneath. Now, we need the word of God proclaimed clearly. We need the word of God proclaimed faithfully. And that's what the Lord demands from the people of God. He demands a response from the people of God to his word. What should a Christian do? A Christian should come to hear the word of God with anticipation. There should be some sort of holy expectancy in our hearts when we come to hear the word of God. We should come with a readiness to hear, a readiness to listen, and a readiness to pray that God would take that word which is declared from Scripture and that God would put it like seed into the soil of our hearts so that it might grow by the power of God. Because it's only when we do that that we are faithful to the word of God. That word which is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The authority of preaching is bound to the word of God. You can't substitute anything for it, or you'll diminish what God has spoken. So pray for that message. Pray that the message may be straight out of the word of God. That the message will be, when we hear that message, that which the old school pastors used to say, thus saith the Lord. It's not the pastor, it's what God says in his word. That's the authority of preaching. And the authority of preaching has to have the message of the gospel in it. The authority of preaching is always to push our minds to see the Lord Jesus Christ and the word of the cross. The word of the cross is the one message that's undesirable to this world. The message of the crucifixion is accompanied by a certain shame. We read about that in this passage. It was a stumbling block not only to the Jew but to the Gentiles. Why? Because they trust in their own self-righteousness. They don't need the message of the cross because the message of the cross talks about the fact that we don't have any righteousness. The message of the cross is a message that we will be the object of ridicule and unbelief, but the message of the cross is the message that we need to hear. It was the word of foolishness to the Jew and to the Gentile, but what does Paul say? He says, God took that message which was foolish to the Jew and foolish to the Gentile, and he used the message preached, the message of the cross, to save sinners. The gospel proclaims God's way of salvation. The gospel proclaims that there is only one way that God is satisfied as far as his justice. And the God who delights in mercy and atonement and satisfies his wrath for our sins by putting them upon Jesus Christ is the God of grace who saves by the message of the cross. Man's wisdom does not exalt the cross. Man rejects the wisdom of God because the unbeliever is daily perishing. That's what Paul says. Even while they perish, they condemn the means of rescue. It's sort of like the person drowning, and he mocks the lifeboat and the life raft. The Greek would have manifested a great desire for wisdom because they were involved in that all the time. In fact, speculative philosophy comes to us from the Greeks. The Greeks admired great thinkers. I always remember my first year at Westminster Seminary where my professor rattled off names, Greek names, of great Greek thinkers and all that they taught, and I sat there with a face that was just, I was dumbfounded, and he knew all of these theories. He was a great professor. I couldn't believe all of these things. And the Greeks were the great philosophers of their day. Their mind prevented them from allowing themselves to think that God would ever act in the way that God did. So for them, the message of the cross, that was foolishness. The mind of unbelief allows God's word only to be considered as foolishness. What do people think today of the church and of the message of the church, the true message of the church, of the word of the cross? They think, what a joke. We need a message today that will speak to people where they're at. You hear that? We need a message today to comfort people. We need a message today. And they go on, and the message is this, the message is that, but the message of the world is never the message of the cross of Jesus Christ, who died that we might live, where the demonstration of the power of God was given so that the sinners who turned from their sin to Jesus Christ and believed would be saved. You see, the word of the cross is God's answer to our needs. The word of the cross is God's answer for our need, and we need his answer. We need his message. We need the word of the cross. We need to know that a sinner is under the just wrath and condemnation of God, who is righteous and holy, until he trusts in the holiness and in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Our need is not just to be happy. There are a lot of churches today that will put on programs and bring you to a situation where you will be happy. But that's not enough to relieve the symptoms of human disease and discomfort. The root cause has to be addressed, and God addresses the root cause of our problem with the word of the cross. We can't be happy without that message, without the truth of the gospel, because it's the only answer to our need. We must hear the word of the cross. We must come by faith. We must be saved from the penalty and the power of our bondage and slavery to sin. And the only way that we're saved is by the word of the cross that proclaims that Jesus Christ is the only Savior for sinners. Remember what Paul writes in Romans chapter 1. He says, the word of the gospel is a word that reveals the righteousness of God. He goes on in the third chapter of Romans to speak of the fact that God set forth his Son to be a propitiation, that is, a satisfaction for our sin. God's wrath was fully satisfied for our sin, and by it we are truly redeemed. So we need to come with that holy anticipation to hear a word from the Lord, a word that we need to hear and to receive, and we need to come to the Christ who is proclaimed in that word. We need to hear that message of the forgiveness of our sins. We need to hear the message of the love of God proclaimed for sinners. We need to listen and rejoice in the message of the free pardon and the justification by faith that is proclaimed by the message of the word of the cross. And we need to pray that the God who in grace has sent forth his Son into this world will send forth his Spirit into our hearts and press that message upon our hearts, that we might rejoice in it each day, that we might glorify God. We can do that because there's also a part of this message that speaks of the power of preaching the word of the cross. And the power of the preaching of the word of the cross is the fact that the word of the cross is the word of new life. In the preaching of the word, the cross of Jesus Christ, we find this is how God comes to powerfully save his people. The old writer John Gill said it is the means of quickening them when they're dead in sin, enlightening their dark minds, unstopping their deaf ears, softening their hard hearts, and of enemies making them friends to God, Christ, and his people. John Gill was right. He puts it all together. The preaching of the cross is the message of God's great power to save sinners. Paul writes about it in this passage. He writes about his God's divine pleasure in verse 21. He talks in verse 23 of how we are confronted with Christ. And he speaks of the fact that we are the earthly vessels that display the glory of God in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He speaks of God's power unto salvation the power that converts us, the power that changes us, the power that brings new life to us, the power that allows us to flee from evil and to turn to the new life that's in Jesus Christ. We become new people. We become transformed. And it's all by the power of God. One of my favorite stories, I've shared it many times, is the story that took place in the early part of this century in a great revival among the Welsh people. And the Welsh revival of the early part of this century illustrates the power of new life in the word of the cross that's preached. When the gospel went forth, miners were converted in mass among the Welsh people. And when they returned to their mines to work, they found that their mules would no longer respond to their command. What had happened? Well, the miners no longer used filthy language and vulgar cursing, which they had previously used to command the mules to work. The mules simply didn't understand the commands any longer. Something had happened. What happened? The miners had been changed by the power of God. It even changes our speech. It changes our behavior. It changes us because it's the transforming power. Remember, John Gill said, quickening them when dead in sin. What's that old language, quickening? It's to make them alive. We were dead in sin, Ephesians 2. What did God do? He made us alive. And when he made us alive, we are new in Jesus Christ. We have new life. New life in him by the power of God. We live by the light of his word. We live the life that's in Christ. Now we live to love the mediator and the master. We live now to be delivered from the power of sin and Satan because Jesus has defeated the enemy. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. He has done it all. That's the message of the power of the cross. That word of new life brings the power to live new life because it's the power of the word of God. We should anticipate it. We should long for it. We should desire to see it happen in the preaching of the word when we gather in worship. We should listen to that word as it is proclaimed. Pray for that word to be applied to our hearts and to our lives and concentrate on that word all of our life and assimilate it by faith, obey it, submitting our life to it so that it may strengthen us to live for Jesus. Let it not only strengthen your heart, but may it strengthen you to be able to take that message of the word of the cross, which is declared in both word and sacrament, the message of Jesus Christ who died for sinners, to take that message to others that they may be saved by hearing it. For it's the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. Take the message of the word of the cross that Jesus Christ is the Savior who died for sinners so that others may see and hear and live and be brought to Jesus Christ. Amen.